Mi gente, you already know who it is. It's the Radioactive Pop with Danny Limelight, United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Champion. And make sure you tune into the Alliance Blog every week. You heard it here first. Straight from Poppy.
But really, perhaps the MVP of the night is Dave Scooby. Hey, this is Jay Cal. This is the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, your number one source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. But sometimes we cover other wrestling promotions. Sometimes we go to other wrestling shows tonight, or rather, last night, I guess. After midnight. Last night, Mr. Dave Scooby of the other Alliance guys and I checked out a wrestling promotion here locally to St. Louis called WrestleMax. And I was quite fond of the show. Dave Scooby and I enjoyed a little bit of Eno's Pizza before the show. Shout out to Eno's Pizza. Mwah, chef's kiss. It was delicious. Had a little frozen custard, and then made our way down to the arena, to the Turner Hall in Columbia, Illinois. So technically, we weren't in St. Louis anymore. We were in Columbia, Illinois. So this was a new territory for me to be, but nevertheless, Mr. Dave Scooby and I enjoyed some wrestling. And we saw a new interim WrestleMax Women's Champion be crowned. And, I'm going to talk about the show after this.
Times are tough now, guys, and it's no joke out here. That's why I'm very proud to be partnering with the Upside app. They're leveling the playing field, guys. They're giving you opportunities to earn cash back on purchases for groceries, purchases for gasoline, purchases for food. These are the things we all spend our money on all the time. I believe in Upside. I use Upside weekly. My lifetime earnings is over $408. And you too can be earning cash back on your Philips, your groceries, or your eating out experiences just by signing up. And it's free. By using my invite code, JASON75. 338, that's Jason 753338. You'll earn $5 cash back on your first fill up. Use the link in the video description or download the app, but make sure you use that invite code JASON 753338 and make money by using the Upside app.
So this was a wrestling show I just found out about really on Wednesday, WrestleMax. And what caught my attention was that current NWA Women's World Tag Team Champion Misa Kate was on the card. I also found out that Tootie Lynn Ramsey, who has a history with this Lightning One NWA, had also been advertised on the card. And so that caught my attention. I asked around, and Dave Scooby was down for going. So, again, Dave Scooby's the real MVP. He drove us there. He hooked up the ticket. I owe that man some money. So this was a show that, I had almost no expectation of what kind of event it was going to be. I do know that the card is always subject to change. And this card was definitely changed quite a bit over the last few weeks, with specifics to there was supposed to be a matchup featuring originally was going to be Shazza McKenzie taking on I'm probably going to butcher her name here, but Kaia McKenna. That was originally booked to be one of the matches, and then also there was supposed to initially be a title match, the WrestleMax Women's Title, which originally was going to be Su Yin defending her title. For whatever reason, Su Yin was not able to make the event. And she was originally scheduled to defend against Billy Starks, who subsequently was also unable to make her appearance. So there was, like I said, the card was subject to change. The main event went from Su Yung and Billy Starks, and I hope I'm saying that right, to a four-way match, four-way dance, if you will, to crown an interim champion, and that would be, again, Misa Kate and Tootie Lynn Ramsey, Shaza McKenzie, and Kia McKenzie. I'm saying it wrong. Anyways, so let's start with the good. The venue is great. Turner Hall is a terrific place to see pro wrestling. It had air conditioning, which if you were in St. Louis in the summertime, air conditioning is a positive. The announcer, Ben, I didn't catch his last name, tremendous, professional. They started the show off with a moment of silence for both Bray Wyatt and Terry Funk. They did a 10-bell salute, and Ben eulogized? Ben spoke about the two men. I don't mean to laugh. Sometimes I laugh at myself when I don't get words correct. Ben sat there and read the acclaim of both men who were former world champions in their own right. It was very classy, good move by WrestleMax, and I felt very positive about the show just to kick things off. Now, there was a dark match, and obviously, as a dark match, these guys were not, not main rostered type guys. And I don't mean to be insulting. I didn't catch their names. I know that one tag team was called the New Guys, which it was an eccentric wrestler teaming with the guy who was more serious, and they took on two wrestlers. I didn't catch their names, so I can't really speak to them. They weren't bad. But obviously they're still learning their craft. They're still learning their trade. Still very early in their career, I would imagine. The match was okay. And like I said, the new guys, they went over. They did this very smart thing that they came to the ring with like a Polaroid camera. And they weren't charging the fans for pictures. They were just taking pictures and giving them to the fans. And I looked over at Dave Scooby. I said, that is brilliant, because each fan, and it was children mostly, each child who received one of those photos now has a memento of this night. And number one, if those guys ever become something in the world of wrestling, they have photographic proof that they were there in the infancy. But number two, like, what a great reminder for kids to harass their parents later on, like, hey mom, I want to go back to that wrestling show where I got to take a picture. Remember the picture? It's on the refrigerator. So, smart strategy. You know, how much does a roll of film cost? Maybe $50. Maybe that's high. Maybe that's low. I don't know. I don't buy Polaroid film, but I just thought that was a pretty cool deal. This show featured a lot of second-tier stars, guys that you might have seen in MLW. And I like I said, I did enjoy the show quite a bit. They were planting seeds for maybe a tag team at the end of the show. But like, if you're not really following WrestleMax, it probably means nothing to you. But let's talk about some of the quick results here that I posted at alliance-wrestling.com, your number one source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. They started the show off with a River City title match, which I believe is like their secondary title. Again, brand new to the product, not really sure. I did look up on Cage Match, and Raheem De La Suede won the title at their last show. Tonight, he defended against Dan the Dad. Now, I met a gentleman out here in St. Louis before the show who was telling me how much he enjoyed the WrestleMax product, and he said one of his favorites to watch is Dan the Dad. Great gimmick. It was, not a dad bod per se, but certainly the stereotypical khaki pants, khaki shorts, polo t-shirt, something you might catch your dad wearing when he's out mowing the lawn. The gimmick was funny. Raheem had some pretty good offense, but actually both of them had really good offense. And there was a couple of times where I thought Dan, the dad, might actually steal this title victory, steal the title away from Raheem. However, that's not what happened. And Raheem was able to pick up the victory in a very much contested bout. Very good match, very fun match. And if, again, I'm viewing this as somebody who, number one, I don't normally critique matches, but number two, this was my first time being at one of their events. So from this, you know, I wasn't super familiar with storylines. I didn't really know what was going on, but I thought that Raheem had a lot of potential, and Dan the Dad had some potential too. The next match was announced as a non-title match, but I'm not even sure what title Myron Reed has. It was a Myron Reed versus Kenway match. Again, I know Myron Reed from his MLW stuff, but I don't know a whole lot more about him than that. Kenway, I think, is a local talent, and these guys put on a banger of a match. I felt like a couple of times, like, Myron went back to the well on a couple of moves. Like, you know, he did it once and then he was doing it again. And that, to me, that always kind of pulls me out of it. And I'm not saying he isn't a completely qualified wrestler. He looked great in the ring. I just don't think that this was the this match. I think some of the planning in it just felt redundant. All in all, it was still a really good match. I just, you know, I'd rather see more variety when it comes to the moves. If you keep going back to the well, I feel like maybe your opponent should learn better. He shouldn't fall for the same move like twice. You know, twice, but definitely not three times. And again, a lot of fun. This was the first time I got to see Myron live. So that was pretty cool. They had some technical snafu, so they took an early break. We came back to see Moses, and I think his name is Camaro. Camaro's a big dude. Camaro has some size to him. He's not your prototypical indie guy. And like I said, they're kind of building up an angle with him, I think, post show. And we might see a new tag team emerge from this. But again, I wasn't familiar with either one of these guys, Moses or Camaro. Moses had, I know at the last show that he had, he was on the last show. I guess I don't remember exactly what he did on the last show. I don't have my note here in front of me. But it was a good back and forth match. Camaro certainly had some power on him, whereas Moses was more fast, quicker. And of course, if you want to see some of the photos from the show that I took, I'll be posting a lot more of them on Instagram. I got to go through and get some of the best ones. But and of course, if you're subscribed to our YouTube Shorts, there'll be clips leaking out over the next couple of weeks from this show. So this was a fun match. It was a fun. Confrontation, but in the end we had Moses pick up the victory. That led us to I don't think I'm saying his name right. Like, this is like the rad guy Cole Radick or something like that, and I probably should have taken better notes now that I'm trying to remember his name. But Cole Radick was taking on ATM. This was a very interesting match too. Turns out that today, or last night, was Cole Radick's birthday. I don't know how old Cole Radick turned, but it was a nice celebration because ATM had the crowd sing "Happy Birthday" to Cole Radick, and the fans complied. And your boy Jay caught that on video. Maybe I'll try to put that in this audio clip once we get done. It was, again, good match. A lot of back and forth. I feel like matches like these oftentimes could be, like, because it's in the middle of the card, it could be forgotten about. But this was actually a really fun, entertaining match. A lot of high intensity, high offense in this one. As I'm sitting here trying to remember some of the elements of the match, there was a lot of sportsmanship here. After the match, the two celebrated by shaking hands, but they did very much test each other's limits. And you know, had you made me guess who I thought was going to win before the match started, I thought that ATM would be the guy who would pick up the victory, but that was not the case, as Cole Radek would win with like a cutter off the off of like the middle rope. He would bounce off the middle rope and connect with a cutter on ATM to get the 1-2-3. So that was again another fun match. Then we got the big boys, the super heavyweights, KLD. I don't even know who this KLD guy is. I've never seen him before. But he was kind of Vader-esque in shape. Big guy. And he was taking on Calvin Tankman. Again, somebody you might have seen from MLW. Now, this match was really just kind of bonkers. Because first and foremost, you have two, what I would classify as super heavyweights, moving around the ring in a speed and fortitude that you would normally see reserved for men much, much lighter. The match starts off when KLD does a somersault dive right onto Tankman before the match even starts, and these guys are going at it hard. You know, Heebs has coined the phrase, beefy, meaty men slapping meat, or maybe I'm getting it mixed up now because it's, you know, after midnight and I'm a little tired. But it was intense. They fought all around the ringside before actually getting into the ring, with KLD coming off more as the babyface in this one, and Tankman definitely trying to get that heel heat from the audience. A couple of times he introduced a chair into the match, and you know, the battling outside the ring before the match even started, like, really, the referee had no control over the match. And once they finally decided to get into the ring, that's when he rang the bell, make things official. Lots of very loud chops, thud. The sound I would describe when I heard one of the wrestlers get slammed to the mat was like that. If you ever held a Christmas turkey, you know, you're preparing one for dinner maybe, and it slips out of your hands because it's frozen, and it hits the ground and makes that thud, that sickening thud, that you're probably sure you broke some of the bones inside that frozen turkey. That's what these guys sounded like when they hit the floor, hit the mat. Just thud. Just intense, disgusting slabs of meat hitting the floor for our enjoyment. And at one point, Tankman grabs a table from out underneath the ring. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't see either one of those guys being able to not destroy the table just by sitting on it. And Tankman was he was able to powerbomb KLD through the table. And it was in such a weird way. Like, I think they were trying to play KLD, like trying to kick Calvin Tankman, but somehow he managed to. Well, I guess I should explain. It was a powerbomb to the outside, and Calvin Tankman was on the outside of the ring while KLD was on the ring apron, and he feigned to kick Tankman moved around and then got between his legs and powerbombed him through the table. And again, that was just the most disgusting crash sound I've heard in wrestling in a long time. These guys were huge. And when I say super heavyweights, I don't mean like, oh yeah, they're 250 pounds. No, these guys are probably pushing 400 pounds. Imagine if someone powerbombed Wrecking Ball Ligursky through a table. That's pretty much what this sounded like. So again, very intense. And you know, that match was just it was, like I said, it was intense. Then we would go to the next matchup would be a triple threat match for the River City Championship. Like I said, I guess that's their secondary title. And this was a lot of fun. Like, I've never saw, again, most of these talents on the roster I've never seen before. I've never seen a Mance Warner match. I've heard the name, but I got to be honest, I don't know who he is. But I do, I know now, and he was taking on Mike Outlaw and former Dynamo Pro, when they were associated with the NWA, Missouri State Champion Davey Vega. NWA Missouri Davey Vega Champ. Let me try that again. NWA Missouri Champion Davey Vega. Now, obviously, he's not the NWA Missouri Champion these days, but I was surprised to see him because he's somebody that we would talk about in the past. When Kenny Garrett would come on the Alliance Guys podcast, we spoke a little bit about Danny Vega, as he was one of their top guys even back then. Mike Outlaw has a great look, pretty big specimen. I liked all three of these guys. Mance Warner, I think, looks like a superstar. I know he works for MLW, but I think this is a guy that, you know, he would fit right in with the NWA. I think he would fit in with the United Wrestling Network. I'm kind of surprised he hasn't made an Impact debut yet, because I kind of feel like he'd be right up their alley. This match got really rough, really fast. Vega smartly tried to stay away from his opponents. He stayed outside of the ring to start the match off. And the chops and slaps, the slaps are what got me, that Warner and Outlaw were exchanging back and forth. I mean, full on slapped the guy in the face and it snapped. It was such a loud slap sound. And these guys really were putting in the work. Vega would come in to take advantage of both men. And as soon as he lost that advantage, he'd run out the ring again. This infuriated Warner and the Outlaw, such that they chased down Vega and double teamed him quite a bit. At one point, Warner, reaching out to those fans here in St. Louis, or I guess technically in Columbia, had the fans hold the kids, these were kids, hold on to Vega's arms while he chopped the ever loving shit out of them. It was incredible. And it was a lot of fun too. And if I, you know, at this moment, I'm thinking, well, of course, Warner's going to win this thing. He's the biggest star in the match. But that's not what happened. In fact, Warner ended up getting thrown into the ring pull, and he was down. He got busted open. I did not see him blade, but I'm pretty sure he did. And so that gave us Outlaw, Mike Warner, excuse me, I said that wrong. Mike Outlaw and Davey Vega going at it back and forth. This was a lot of fun match. A lot of fun match? This match also was a lot of fun. At one point, Vega pulled out some sort of loaded weapon and was able, like a loaded fist, and socked the Outlaw. Outlaw goes down. Mance Warner didn't see that at all. When Mance gets in the ring, Outlaw stumbling to get to his feet, and then Warner connects with that DDT, and that's it. He's eliminated. So, oh, and I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but this was a triple threat elimination match. So the first one out was Mike Outlaw, again eliminated by Warner, and then it was Warner and Vega, and these two, again, you know, put each other through hell. And I was really surprised in the outcome of this match that, I thought for sure Warner was going to win this, but Vega pulled it out, surprised everybody, got the victory. And so that brings us to the main event. The main event of the evening, again, like I said, it was supposed to be Sun Yun, I'm probably butchering that, from Impact, defending her WrestleMax championship against Billy Starks. Neither one of them were able to make it, so they combined the Shaza McKenzie match, Shaza McKenzie taking on Kia McKenna, with Tootie Lynn Ramsey and Misa Kate. Both of them have worked in the NWA before. Obviously, Misa Kate is your one half of your NWA Women's Tag Team Champions, getting a warm-up in before the 75th anniversary pay-per-view tomorrow, or I guess technically today. And I was very excited to see Misa Kate. I was very excited to see Tootie Lynn Ramsey. Both of them I admire. I think they're great talents. Misa Kate is a heat magnet here in, I guess, St. Louis adjacent. She kept calling herself Chicago's sweetheart. There was one lone fan rooting for her, and she like flipped them off and gave them the business. It was pretty funny. He's a kid too. It wasn't like an adult. It was a kid. And anytime a wrestler flips off a kid, you gotta love that. Or something. Tootie Lynn looked exactly like she did with the NWA. I still don't understand why she's not a part of the festivities this weekend. Maybe we'll be surprised. Maybe she'll show up. Chicago's sweetheart did don her Chicago Cub jersey with the name on the back, which was like a sweetheart. Kia McKenna I'd never seen before. I'd never even heard of her before. And this is where I'm going to be a little bit critical. I felt like oftentimes she was lost in the match. There was a few move sets where like at one point there was a gimmick inside the match where Shaza was supposed to kick McKenna, and McKenna was supposed to catch the leg, and she totally botched it where she missed the catch. And then so Shaza went back to the drawing board to do the same move again, and at this point McKenna still was waiting to hold that leg. She never put her arms down, so it kind of looked a little bit ridiculous, because why would in a real fight, why would you kick somebody if they were expecting to get your leg? You full on gave it to her. So that was kind of a disappointment. There were some other things in the match that kind of went a little bit long, where they had like Tootie would kick Misa. Misa would kick McKenna. McKenna would kick Shaza. Shaza would kick Tootie, and they kind of cycled through, and it was just like it felt like it was more like a 2-on-2 match and more like a tag team match for most of it. So I felt like that kind of hurt it, and again I felt like maybe this might have been a bit much for McKenna. I don't think maybe she was ready for this type of a match, or maybe she was, and because of the change of opponents and stuff, it threw her off. Regardless, overall, I thought the show was great. If you're in the St. Louis area, I highly recommend checking this show out. I know that they're supposed to be running again in December, and they have maybe a match coming, a show coming in October, but they don't have a date confirmed for that yet. They made sure to announce that multiple times during the event. I liked the show. I had a good time. And if anyone from WrestleMax wants to ever come on here and talk a little bit of wrestling here in St. Louis, I'd be more than happy to have you guys on. But that's going to do it. And we'll see you guys at the matches.
Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. The premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at The Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at The Alliance Blog. Until then, we are The Alliance.